Hello everyone, welcome to edition 197, or 200 minus 3, of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula 1 podcast, recorded right here in the delightful Norfolk, UK, and brought to you by our proud partners Grand Prix Racing Online. You haven't signed up yet? Come on, sign up to the game by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1. My name is sports journalist Michael Bailey, and in this podcast we are going to preview the 2017 Singapore Grand Prix. Will Mercedes upgrade their chances? How many grid penalties will Red Bull have to take? And how many more deals are there actually left to be done? We are here, and joining me for the pod fun once again are Kyle Cumbers and Richard Baxter. Gentlemen, all well? All good?
Still good.
Still good. I was just thinking, are we going to do an episode 200 special?
I don't know. What should we do special for 200? I was trying to work out what it would be, and I think if we, you know, ruin the future, we're going to do our predictions next, which will be 198. So then it'll be a Singapore review, 199. So then it'll be a news pod before Malaysia. Oh, they're not back to back, are they?
No.
So yeah, a news pod. That's not very exciting, is it? What should we do? What should we do to mark 200?
Let's have a party.
Okay. What, nibbles? Yeah. We'll have to go down the pub again. We get some chips this time. Kyle, we got any ideas? Double century. It's like that's f***ing awesome.
Or we should sort of make up some news, possibly.
Fake news.
Yeah, fake news.
Well, why not? It is the way things are done now.
We should drive to someone's factory and just, even if they won't let us in, just sit in the lobby or something and record it. Just.
We could go to the old Hingham site where Caterham are, see what state that's in, or were, Caterham were. Anyway. Before we get stuck into the podcast, just to remind you, this is part two of our three pods in 3 days. Our F1 latest news pod, the last one, is available to listen to on your podcast player of choice, along with all our previous editions, all 196 of them. Just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe and you'll be able to subscribe there, find the link you need. And if you can't find it, email us, or just email us to talk to us, because we love reading them. nrf1podcast@gmail.com. So Singapore, this is Sebastian Vettel's domain. That is how the common theory goes, isn't it? Anyway, Carl.
Yeah, he's had a little bit of success over there. Yeah, I mean, when he was at Red Bull, that seemed to suit, the track seemed to suit the Red Bull. So hopefully the Red Bull drivers this weekend will be able to push him, and we have a three-way battle, which will be good. But yeah, you think Ferrari seemed to, especially after such an awful weekend in Monza, you think Vettel will want to bounce back.
Do you feel it was an awful weekend then? Because when we did our Monza review, sort of perceived wisdom was it was all right. It wasn't that bad, because not many people have that expectation of them really beating Mercedes around that track. But
I didn't expect to beat them, but they what 30 seconds behind, 35 seconds behind. And you can imagine that Mercedes turned down their engines pretty early in that race. So
second corner.
Yeah. We keep hearing that Mercedes is struggling with high downforce circuits. Maybe they were just very good on low downforce circuits. I don't think it was all the engine. I think maybe it was part of that as well. They got a good chassis and aerodynamic design on low downforce. But yeah, I mean, that's a long way behind. Especially also, they were quite competitive in Spa. You know, I mean, actually, Seb could have won that quite not easily. He could have won it if he pulled the right move at the right time. So yeah. I thought it was an awful weekend for him.
Singapore Grand Prix has been back since 2008. So do we want to have a go at who's won since 2008? Go on, Rich.
Fernando Alonso.
Yes, he has.
Webber?
No.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, obviously Vettel has.
Yeah. How many times has Vettel won?
Six.
My eyesight. 1, 2, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. So it's 9 races. You probably could have done that by years, but never mind. So 9 races. Do you think Seb's won 6 of them?
I'm not sure now. That was just like straight off the top. Probably 4.
Oh, he's right, you know.
Yeah.
Do you want to have a go at the years?
2012.
Yeah.
2013, 2014. No, not 2014. Or was it?
So 2012, 2013. Go the other way.
2011.
Yeah, there you go.
And 2010.
No, other way.
Last year.
Yeah, no, not last year. 2015.
Rosberg.
So, and Alonso, you said he won it in 2008, 2010. Who's missing?
Hamilton won it in 09.
Yes.
And he's won it again. He won it for Mercedes.
Yeah.
And is that it? Yep. I remember he's leading the McLaren.
It's the only year we haven't mentioned.
Is he winning? He's winning in McLaren. Who won?
Yeah.
And these gearbox broken us when apparently the day he decided to go to Mercedes.
Oh, yeah.
So that was...
That's right.
12, that was... So
yeah.
Yeah, when one. Seb won it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other year was 2014.
Yeah.
Oh, that was fun. They're always good. Yeah. Good games are always good. So, given, I think common consensus says that Ferrari should be strong at Singapore. Seb should be strong at Singapore. And he's 7 points now behind Hamilton in the Drivers' Championship. Is this must win for Ferrari? This is round 14. We've only got 5 races after this one. Is that right? No, 6. No.
Not really for the championship, but in a way they sort of put pressure on themselves by sort of saying, oh, we'll be all right in Singapore. and sort of even Mercedes kind of put pressure on Ferrari by going, yeah, we may not be that good in Singapore. And then they sort of go to Malaysia. There's people sort of saying that Ferrari got races coming up, but Malaysia's quite a high speed. It's a bit like a Silverstone, really, isn't it? Sort of fast corners and...
Well, Hamilton was dominating there last year, and then his engine popped.
Yeah, exactly.
So
Mercedes could be really strong there. So, yeah, maybe it is a must-win. And also, just purely driver's championship, Hamilton seems... Momentum seems with Hamilton. We've seen in previous years that when he's on a roll, sometimes he's pretty unbeatable. So Seb just needs to sort of halt that movement.
Spot on. And I guess, is it a coincidence then that Mercedes are bigging up some upgrades they've got coming this weekend as well? Because, as you said, they're downplaying the fact that they'll probably, they reckon, not be able to compete with Ferrari yet. Oh, by the way, we're going to upgrade the car and we'll see how we get on.
They're always bringing upgrades in, aren't they? It's the way Formula One is. Whether they make a massive difference or not, I don't know. But to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the rest of the season it was, you know, the race wins was just yo-yoing between the two. Because it's been quite like that all season until, was it last weekend when Hamilton won, obviously, 2 races back-to-back. And that was the first time this season. It's going to be down to the last race, I think, and it's just going to be so close to the rest of the season. I think it's just going to be one of those. Because when you look at Suzuka, and that's you know, another mix where it's high speed, but there's also... I'm not going to say slow speed, but lower speed. They're still ridiculously fast, but yeah, there's all these tracks which are quite a mix of both. So
it's going to be interesting. That is for sure. I don't know. Maybe able to check this, but Lewis Hamilton. It seems to me that he's either won a race or not been on the podium this season. So does he start playing sensible, or has he actually got that in him this year? Because it seems to be a kind of all or nothing thing with him.
Yeah, he's...
And now he's leading. I mean, it's the first time he's been leading the championship now. So you wonder if... And obviously, it's not like he's going to start backing off, because I don't think that's going to happen. But just how that maybe alters his thinking going into this race and the situations he might find himself in.
Yeah, I suppose your mindset does change when you've gone from the chaser to the chasee. That's the right way around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. But there's not that much, you know, the points gap is so small still, there's not much to defend. If it was 20 points, maybe he would think, well, actually, a second place or a third place will do here. Maybe this weekend, with his Mercedes form and his form sort of low-speed corners this year, he'd take that. But I think maybe just this weekend, and I think he'll... But also, I suppose, I imagine he'll be playing all up to the build-up, but there's no pressure. And then he might, you know, Hamilton is pretty handy around street circuits, and if they can somehow get these upgrades going... He might be able to pull off a surprise pole. And if he's on pole, it's his race to lose. So.
His race to lose. I love that. Red Bull, I wanted to touch on as well. Engine penalties. They've said they're on their way. maybe not here, but over the course of the second half of the season. And obviously, they had huge engine penalties at Monza as well. Christian Horner kind of said that the rules should be changed. There should be less engine penalties. They should be allowed to change. Now, I mean, I can't imagine Christian Horner would have been saying that if they'd been leading the championship by a mile. And I'm pretty sure that when they were leading the championship by a mile a few years ago, he was adamant in this situation that everyone would just have to lump it because they did a better car, blah, 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 etc.
Can he just shut the f*** up? It's engines is all he goes on about. And it's just them, the rules, deal with it. That's Just is it in? He annoys me, Christian Horner.
Does he? Oh, I didn't realise.
Because mainly because he has really bad teeth. Every time I hear him talk, that's all I see, and it's just
that's
like,
harsh.
They are really bad.
I'm closing my mouth now. Yeah. Also, I mean, we talked about in episode 196, we spoke about Carlos Sainz and the dominoes awaiting. I guess this will be the first race where we get to see what Carlos Sainz does with all that, and what it just seems to put a load of pressure back on Jolyon Palmer, because once again we're thinking, well, Jolyon might not now be racing for the rest of the season. And also no mention of Robert Kubica either, which I think is interesting.
That was something else I read actually about Kubica. So I don't know if you'd seen the same thing.
There's a strong Williams or Kubica to Williams rumour, so like this seems to suggest he'd been released by Renault. So also that the last test in Hungary obviously didn't go that well, so
yeah, that would be the first thing you think, is that he didn't obviously do enough to... Is it more likely that than maybe them... Because all we were saying was that it was like a no-lose situation. You'd get such good PR from it. There'd be such a wonderful story. So, and they, as you said, Kyle, they spent so much money on sticking him through the tests.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, it was 3 or 4 tests he did. I mean...
Unless he was paying for them all himself, but I can't see that.
No. So it seems to be... Oh, there's quite strong rumours on maybe come this season or next season and, you know... The way they were going about it was a bit like Lance Stroll and Williams, you know, sort of gradually building them up, private tests, and then after Hungary, it was like, boom, done. Although he was there at the weekend, wasn't he, in Italy? So, obviously, with science going, there's nothing from there. So, yeah, seems a bit strange, really. So.
Something I did read, there was talk about his long inconsistency in his long runs with Kubica, and I just think that was his first time back in the car properly in, I don't know how many years, 10 years? You know, you can't be that picky about inconsistencies straight away. You kind of surely have to give him time.
In a situation where they were grilling him, weren't they? They were pushing him through like 2 Grand Prix distances because they were trying to test at a right-handed, was it left-handed track? I can't remember, but a track that was supposed to really test his injury as well.
It seems so harsh to do that to the guy as well. It's like a, I can't think of the word, but like baptism of fire. That's the one. It's just, you know, chuck him straight in at the deep end.
Obviously, he must have shown some speed in the first couple of tests for them to then go along with it, you know. And you kind of think, well, if he's got the speed, which he always had, and if he was getting close to that, then the consistency would come with more tests and stuff. And maybe you could throw him in for a couple of Grand Prix towards the end of the season if you knew you were getting rid of Jolyon. So, yeah, it seems a bit bizarre, really, the whole story, really.
We'll keep an eye on it, of course. One thing we will know is that Williams won't have Claire Williams at Singapore because she is on maternity leave now. That was the last... I think there was a suggestion on the Checkered Flag podcast that the shenanigans between the Williams drivers at the end of the race in Monza was enough to put Claire into labour, but it didn't. And as far as I know, she isn't yet either. I'm obviously relying on social media to inform us, but obviously our thoughts are all with you, Claire. Hope you've come up with a good name. Did we do a sweep on the name? We haven't done a sweep on the name. Are we, Frank?
Oh,
is it a boy or a girl? Do we know?
I don't know. I don't know. But whether it's public knowledge, I don't know. But well, it could be Francis either way.
I think I went for Nigel after, you know, the greatest Williams driver. You know,
how dare you?
I love Damon, but Nigel was my first hero, my first love.
What would you do if Claire named him Damon?
Oh, I'd have to then define which Damon I'm a fan of. But
Damon Williams or Damon Hill?
No, after the way that Damon Hill was dropped by Williams in 96, I don't think there'll be too much chance of them naming him Damon.
William, could be William. William Williams. Frank. Even if it's a girl. And I guess we touched on Sauber quite a lot, but do we keep a close eye on Sauber now? Are we going to expect loads of change? I mean, it does seem if a team has got a brighter future, that would give everyone a kick up the ass going into a race. Yeah. And, you know, what we saw from the Monza was basically just fighting with each other a lap behind everyone else.
Yeah, it's because of the motivation. But then how motivated is the line going to be? It could be, especially, well, he's probably... part of this deal with Sainz going to Renault, because he was being possibly lined up for the Force India if Perez moved, so there's no room for him left in Formula 1 because Williams need an over 25-year-old. So this could be the end of his sort of Formula One career before it's even really started. So
he's still very young though, isn't he? So
I mean, if Mercedes keep him in the family, then there's always an option going forward. But
let's be honest,
when you're out, it's hard to get back in, isn't it?
Exactly. So. And once you've had a go, that's that, really.
They've all got too many drivers, haven't they? If you're just coming through, and there's not enough spaces for them, unfortunately.
And they do, I don't know, it sometimes feels like they're a bit unable to figure out who's actually got the most potential and who's quickest and who's the one really worth keeping hold of. But anyway, people get paid a lot of money to figure all that out.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't get in the way of George Russell. Then.
Yes, exactly. Well said, Carl. Spot on. So we always like to ask this question. Who is this the most important weekend for?
I think the obvious answer to me seems to be Ferrari. But I think, thinking more deeply, I'm going to say Red Bull. Because in Italy, they really showed some pace once they got going. I mean, Ricciardo, did he get podium or did he get fourth or something, isn't he? Yeah. So he did really well to get back up and, you know, get points. And in qualifying, okay, it was wet, but they were still really quick, the both of them. This track has suited them in the past. If they can get going, you know, there could be another podium for one of the guys, as long as the engine lasts as well.
I just think if Hamilton nails this with an upgraded car, that, much like what we spoke about in Monza about just sending a message to Ferrari, this would do absolutely that once again. But it is the obvious answer in a way, other than Seb.
Probably, in a weird way, Carlos Sainz, because cameras will be on him and, you know, he'll be the interest of the weekend, and he's probably going to have a good solid weekend.
We've been ignoring him for weeks, so that will be good for him. Finally, just touching on Singapore, does this track need a good race? I mean, people who go seem to like it. It seems to have a great reputation in the Formula One bubble, and deals get done and people love the city and what it does for Formula One, but I can't remember a good race there.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But I enjoy it. Is it because it's under lights? Because it's different?
Yeah.
It's just...
So what we're saying is because it's under lights, it can still be a race and we don't mind.
Possibly because it's, yeah, a little bit different. But like I said...
It's a gimmick. That's what that is. Hope you're listening, Ped. Forget your Monaco. That makes Singapore an absolute gimmick.
And I think I always sort of liked it following Crashgate and the craziness of that, and that sort of seemed to help it as well.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm trying to... Like I said, I can't really remember a huge moment, even in, maybe like we talked about Hamilton's, you know, engine blowing up or gearbox blowing up, whatever it was.
Go on, Rich.
With the joys of the internet, I googled Singapore Grand Prix best race, and the Formula One site came up from 2015, where I asked the people to vote for their favourite. And you had 2008, which was Marina Bay's drama field debut. 2009, Hamilton puts McLaren back on top. And 2010, with Alonso's Grand Slam. And it says, Alonso wins by just 0.2 seconds after leading every lap, setting fastest lap and starting from pole position. Was that just a safety car that
it
did that?
Yeah.
So I can't remember any of these races. There's highlights, so maybe we can watch them.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe I'm just being harsh and history. I got so much going on in my head. History plays tricks. Go on, Rich.
The drama field debut, of course. Nelson Piquet's Crashgate saga.
Yeah. That is the one, probably, isn't it?
That's probably the best one. Yeah, it's probably the best one. But
I mean, we're not suggesting that someone, you know, sends a teammate into the wall or a team sends a driver into the wall just to you know, entertain us.
We've had action there, because if you think, we had the lizard on the track last year.
There's
the guy walking down the year before. And then, of course, when Michael Schumacher was racing, he crashed massively twice.
That just popped into my mind as well.
And so the way the track goes under the stadium, we've had people lose it into the barrier there, and everyone then is like, oh, I'm going to squeeze through.
Well, have we, Rich? Or have you just tried to predict that every year?
No, that happened, I'm sure, because the track goes underneath the stadium and someone always gets it a bit wrong and goes wide and hits it.
You also had the steward last year running along the track. It was after a safety car, wasn't there? They hadn't start finish straight. There's a guy just sort of misjudged when it was all starting again. So.
All right. Well, I think we're getting into prediction. Right.
Yeah. The cars were then taking off. Yeah. And he just hopped over the barrier at the last second.
We're getting into prediction territory here as to what we want to see happen this year. Brilliant stuff. Okay, well, I think that has Singapore covered. Let me just plug our social media channels. Make sure you keep track of those on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. The handle you need is at the NRF1. And we'll have lots of chances for you to interact, subscribe, support us and sign up over the rest of the season blogs, betting tips, Kyle?
Hopefully, yeah. If Wednesday goes to plan, I'll be able to do them Wednesday morning. So
how exciting! Fingers crossed. I can't remember how you were getting on now, but
up and down. Up and down. Should we say?
That's fine. That means there's loads of room to go up for the rest of the season. So those will be with you hopefully before the end of the week, all being well. But essentially, everything you need to know from us, you will find at our website, nrf1.uk, and you can get in touch with emails. As I always say, they're brilliant when we receive them. We really appreciate it. nrf1podcast@gmail.com is the address. On its way is our predictions podcast, and if you do get a few minutes, and check out our YouTube channel, nrf1.uk/nrf1tube, some great videos on there, and that will be where our NRF1 GP video ends up in a week or two's time. But all I'm left to do is say goodbye. So that's goodbye from Rich.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Kyle.
Cheerio.
Goodbye from me. Goodbye. Thanks to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up at gpro.net/NRF1. This has been the NRF1 podcast. The third of our three pods in 3 days will be with you next as we predict all the Marina Bay action. Until then, goodbye.